opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ,
good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fallon. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. Joining me this morning, as I always like to say, is that my wife, Ann Fella, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services, as well as the Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. Ann, could you give our listening audience of WTBQ a good morning greeting?
Good morning, everyone.
That sounds terrific. Okay, that's good. Joining us this morning in the studio, we have a gentleman. His name is Mr. Joseph Harris, and he wrote a book that's called Drug Addiction and the Most Powerful Enemy Against It, Recovering Sober Mind. We're going to be talking about drug addiction. Mr. Harris, can you give our listening audience of WTBQ a good morning greeting?
Good morning.
All right. That's how we like to have. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be a very good show. It's going to be like a very concerning show in the sense that, you know, it's a subject that we really have to talk about, and you don't want to sweep it under the carpet, but it is something that we're going to get some insight into, the process of drug addiction. Okay, A&T Healthcare, we are a home healthcare agency. We have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City, and our corporate office is in New City, New York. We at A&T Healthcare, we're very honored to be broadcasting every Thursday morning, having you be a part of your Thursday morning. We thank you so much. Our show, Mr. Harris, just so you know, it's not controversial, contentious, or confrontational, unlike the list, as I would say, about the political arena that's going on. I think that you could check off all three of that. That's what's happening. I think, and I believe it's going to continue into the election.
And beyond.
But we are not controversial, contentious, or confrontation, but we are engaging, informative, and I always want to say entertaining. Mr. Harris has said that he will accept questions on the topic that we're having. The number that you can reach us at is 845-651-1110. 845 area code 651-1110. And again, thank you for joining us this Thursday morning. And it is a beautiful Thursday morning. All right, before we get started, we still encourage everyone to join us on Facebook. I cannot believe how many people are following us. Oh my gosh, over 3,500 people are liking us now on Facebook. And that's very good ball playing, as Coach Gregory would say, the University of Rhode Island. What it is that, we started, remember, there's 100, and we were so happy when we had the 1,000 mark. That was like a big plateau. But as I said, it's a very informative. We have different articles, and you can also hear the rebroadcast of these different programs that we've had on WTBQ. What else is happening, Ann? What week is this?
This is Nurse Recognition Week. We're celebrating nurses in Rockland County today at Dominican College. There'll be a celebration and ceremony. And several people are nominated, wow, including our very own Peter Fella.
I was nominated. I want you to know I've already won because I was nominated, okay? And I know I don't deserve it, but I say that story what Jack Benny used to say. He said, yes, I don't deserve this award, but then again, I have rheumatoid arthritis, which I don't deserve, so I'm going to accept the award. But no, really, it's just an honor just to have been nominated, and I do appreciate it. But I think Ann and I feel very strongly about this, Mr. Harris, mm-hmm, and to our listening audience of WTBQ, is that A&T Healthcare, we're very sincere and serious about the programs that we're doing. As Ann and I are registered nurses, and as you know, A&T Healthcare was started by registered nurses, Tony and Annette. And one of the things that is important is that this is how we're educating the community. We're giving back to the community. And if we can help one person, and that's what we want to do, we're very happy about it. And I feel very strongly about that. As nurses, we have an image to portray as far as being caring and understanding. And that's what we want to come through when we have our radio shows.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Nurses in, actually, Rockland County has been having this event for 36 years. It started, I think, in the county health department and hospital, and has expanded throughout all of Rockland County hospitals, facilities, and schools, such as Dominican College Naya College, and Rockland Community College. We had Sister Buckley on
last month,
about the program and new nurses coming up to the ranks. So. Yeah. We're very excited.
And
to
even like with new nurses,
I
have to give a shout out. I do have a class, an HHA class is going on in the new city office. That's our corporate office. And it's a shout out. It's a good way of starting. And I always say to the men and the women that are taking the class is that this is a great foundation if you want to pursue a career in nursing. Okay. It's very rewarding.
It is a good way to see if you like it and to find out how much you do like it.
And as I say, it takes a certain kind of person to do this kind of work, and that's good. And if someone enjoys doing it, it's even better. So just a shout out to our class. May is also adult abuse. I think they were talking
adult
about
abuse the awareness early, month.
Awareness mm-hmm. month. I know we did have my brother John Fell and Tim Murphy from Orange County. We were talking about that. That was one of the topics that we had. But as I said, that's another thing that we really people are always concerned and they can't believe it goes on. But in actuality, it does go on. All right, why don't we get started then? Okay, today's program on Health Matters, we will be discussing addiction and how people can become addicted. Addiction, for the most part, as we always say, it's insidious in the sense that we've had several different programs on addiction, different forms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it isn't like you have a glass of wine and then you automatically become an alcoholic or you play your first a lottery ticket. Oh, now you're a compulsive gambler. It really is very insidious as far as getting something like that. And one of the things that is so important in Orange County and in Rockland County, that there is a drug epidemic that is going on. I know so much, my days working at St. Clair's Hospital and Montefiore Hospital, I remember we saw that firsthand, particularly at St. Clair's. And you know, so many of them had an addiction with, and they were HIV positive, and they really, they didn't fare very well. But I did see like the terrible devastation that can take place. Always what we say on Health Matters is that if one person in the family is afflicted, it is the entire family that is afflicted, okay? That's what happens. And you don't just separate the one person. There's that cascade or halo effect that happens. So it always is a concern if something like that happens. All right, let's get started. Mr. Harris, how are you?
Fine.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning in the studio. I always like it when they're in the studio because then they know.
It's just nice
it's
to meet
just
you
nice.
And have it, you here and,
right.
and see you in person.
Well, it feels nice. It feels good to be here.
Okay. I always say this. When I come in, I feel like a rush of endorphins. I still get that. I still, when Frank points his finger at me, oh, this is it. I just do get that rush. But I think that's a good one. But Mr. Harris, why don't you tell us something about yourself to our listening ones on WTBQ?
Well, you know, I'm a counselor, and I've been a counselor for the past 42 and probably a half years. I started in 1973. I also have a long history of drug addiction myself. I started abusing intravenous heroin at 16 and stopped when I was 28. You know, so I also, you know, have a bachelor's degree. I'm a CASAC for the state of New York. Mm-hmm. I work at Good Samaritan Hospital, my favorite hospital.
Okay. And there's one in Suffern, correct?
One in Suffern, New York.
Okay.
It is part of Bon Secours.
Yes.
Okay. And shout out to Good Samaritan Hospital. Here we go. Okay.
And I didn't know this was Nurses Week, but I just want to say hello to Sherry Burbitt, Naomi Raynor. Also, you know, Dr. Seymour Kushner, Sheila McGee. You know, these are, and Wes Anderson, you know, these are people I've been working with for many, many years. I've been a Good Sam since 1987. Mm-hmm. We have a very good program. I think it's the best in this whole region. You know, the staff is very serious and dedicated to helping the addicted population.
Wow. Good to hear and good to know. And I know, and even in Orange County, people do travel to Good Samaritan Hospital in Rockland as well. So it's good to know that is available to them. And tell us a little bit about how you wrote this book.
Well, then tell us about the book. Yes, tell us about the book.
We'll talk about it a little more, but.
Okay. Well, you know, I've been wanting to write the book for a long time. I really never followed anyone else's theory. You know, there are different mm-hmm. theories and different philosophies about drug addicted people, what they can and cannot do, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, studying the drug addicted mind in therapy mm-hmm. for the past 42 years, I decided to write a book, mm-hmm. you know, and give my mm-hmm. theory and my philosophy about, you know, drug addiction and drug addicted people and what they can and cannot do.
Right. Okay.
But tell us how exactly does drug addiction begin and develops into chemical dependency? I remember I just talked very briefly where I said that, you know, if you just have a glass of wine, I have this compulsion for alcohol, or if you bet on a lottery ticket, or what have you. But can you tell us a little bit about how it happens?
Well, usually a person is introduced to a drug by someone they love or trust. One of the problems that some families have is when the children are young and they drinking or using other drugs in front of the kids, and you know, it seems like they're having so much fun while they're doing this. So mm-hmm. the child may want to experience with the drug even before they get old enough to get their hands on it. Mm-hmm. You know, they see their families having fun with it, their mother and father who they love very much, and they want to do what they do. They're role models. Mm-hmm. So their children model the role. Also, you know, someone that you love or trust can come along, like say if you're 12 or 13 years old, 15, and even older. We've gotten people cracked for the, you know, 55 years old coming to us the first time they use, because someone said, this is good, this is okay. So the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to take it if you like it. That's the problem. If you like it. So if you like it and nothing happens, you didn't go to jail, you didn't have a heart attack, you lose your job or get kicked out of school, the thought of danger with experimentation with drugs has been decreased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then
yeah.
someone comes along with a little marijuana, try this. And drug addicted people never plan, when you first start using drugs, you never plan on becoming addicted.
Wow.
It has an accumulative effect. So the more you use, the first part is recreational every now and then you start using for a purpose. I'm going to the movies, I think I'll smoke a joint or I have a beer, you know. And then one day you wake up and you're craving out of nowhere.
Wow.
And this
wow.
is where I think addiction begins. You don't have any problems during this time. You can go to work. You can be responsible. You can follow your family values and morals and be a responsible person. So you don't see it coming on. And as you continue to use, you start binging, you know, 3 to 7 days a week. Friday and Saturday, I abuse drugs. And then Sunday, I go to church. You know, and then it starts Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And while this is happening, the brain is changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your perception of yourself,
absolutely.
Your perception of your responsibility, your perception of life is changing while this is happening. But you don't realize it.
Yeah. You know. You were listening to Health Matters. When we come back, we'll continue to talk to Mr. Joseph Harrison. He's going to talk more about his book, Your Drug Addiction and the Most Powerful Enemy Against Us. You're listening to Health Matters.
Are you an RN or an LPN, caregiver or aide, and want to be part of a first-class, full-service home healthcare agency? Then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342. High standards of care from pediatric to adult patients need your TLC. You are dependable, compassionate, honest, and sensitive to the needs of others. Whether you are highly skilled or wanting to learn, A&T has the finest training program in the tri-state area. And if you'd like to be part of the number one home healthcare agency that makes a difference every day in so many lives, then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342 today or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Dan Castricone. Join me every Thursday at 12:30 for the Dan Castricone Radio Show. We'll take your phone calls, have exciting guests, talk about current events, maybe a little politics. Thursdays at 12:30 on WTBQ. Radio worth listening to.
This is Walt Baby Love. I'd like you to join me for Gospel Tracks Sunday on WTBQ. Radio worth listening to. That's Gospel Tracks every Sunday at 6 a.m. for praise and worship with yours truly, Walt Baby Love.
WTBQ.
And we're feeling all right, and welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, and joining me this morning in the beautiful studio of WTBQ is my wife, Ann Feller, the Regional Director of Patient Services at A&T Healthcare. And we have our guest, Mr. Joseph Harris, who had written a book. The name of it is Drug Addiction and the Most Powerful Enemy Against It. Today's program, we're talking about addiction, and I want to highlight something what Mr. Harris had said in the first segment, is that when someone starts taking it, they don't say, hey, I'm going to take this and become addicted to it. But there's a lot of other things that are going on. There's an article with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, okay, that doctors need painkiller training. The opioid addiction abuse is a fast-growing problem. And what they've been saying is that since 2010, the FDA panel has recommended expanding painkiller safety measures and maintaining training for doctors. But the training plans instituted about 4 years ago were voluntary, and the FDA figures shows that fewer than half of the doctors targeted by their effort for complete training have actually taken it. So there's a lot of knowledge that apparently they're saying that it's over 100. I was blown away when I saw this number, is that they're saying that FDA has its own authority to require training, but is generally only used for special medications taken by small groups. They said opioids are among the most widely prescribed drugs in the nation. You ready? With more than 170 million prescriptions filled. That's prescription filled. It doesn't mean 100 million. So if you extrapolate how many are in a particular thing and a particular order, you can just see the number is mind-boggling.
Usually it's only like 30 pills at a time.
Yeah, yeah. So. But this is something that you have to be trained in. I mean, you don't want someone to say, gee, I remember my brother John, when he had surgery, he was afraid he didn't want to take the painkillers because I don't want to become addicted to it. But there are a lot of things that have been happening about that. So do you want to comment in? What was the, as far as the, talking about how the it works on the brain, like how what happens to your brain?
You started to touch on it a little bit about what happens to the brain when you take drugs. There's different reactions in the brain when you start to take different drugs, such as marijuana and heroin. They have a very similar chemical structure, and they send messengers called neurotransmitters, which are also naturally produced in the brain. So your brain reacts. It's kind of fooling your brain that, you know, this is normal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
This is how I should normally feel. And it, I guess, helps enhance
Once you become addicted, part of the influence that drugs have over the mind causes you to become adjusted to it, because with that influence, it's a command of acceptance. You know, once you become addicted, the addiction commands you to accept and obey its commands for you to continue to use, and slowly the brain is being trained. And when you look at the definition of training, it says to guide or control the development of. So when you're addicted to drugs, the drugs have authority over your brain. It's going to dictate how you're going to think. It determines how you're going to think, and how you're going to behave.
So you think that you're controlling it yourself, but it's actually the drug.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's one of the tricks with drug addiction. It makes you believe that you're in control, which you're really not. I mean, it has authority over your brain. It's going to tell you how to think. All your values, your morals, all of those things are pushed aside, and the only thing that matters is the drug.
Right.
Okay, I believe we have a caller. Hi, welcome to Health Matters. May I have your first name, and where are you calling from?
Well, it's Taylor, and I'm calling from Washingtonville.
Hey, isn't there a winery there, if I'm not mistaken?
That's just where I was, at the Brotherhood Winery, the oldest winery in America.
That's right.
There was no drinking involved.
Oh, God.
Not yet.
Not this early, right?
Okay.
What I'm calling about is we had Joseph on the air with us one morning, and he has an incredible story, as he's telling you. And, obviously someone who comes from that position knows how to talk to people that who think they're fooling everyone, but they can't fool him. And the other part is we had Orange County District Attorney on this morning, Dave Hoover, about one of the biggest drug busts they've ever done in Orange County recently. And one of the things he's talking about, which is what, I want to highlight with Joseph also, is that it's about education. And what he's doing, I think, is probably one of the most important things we can do to stop drug abuse. And that's education. So I just wanted to applaud him. Thank you, both you and Ann, for having him on. I think it's a great service that you're doing for people and the community. Carry on.
Health matters. Because your health does matter. And I know a lot of times these topics aren't as fun and frivolous, but the idea is this is a serious topic, but we have to bring it to the forefront. Okay. Thank you very much. That's Taylor. That was very, that's very good. And I just want to tell this story. I have to say this. How do I find out about Mr. Harris? I was calling and I always promote Health Matters in the morning. Okay. I call and say, this is what a show is going to be on. So when I was doing, it was several weeks ago, I picked up the phone and I was listening. You were on the radio when Taylor was.
Right,
and then
right.
After I did my promotion, I went, hey, who's the gentleman that was on? Because I think he'd be good for Health Matters. So I'm glad that was the genesis, how
definitely
you wound up getting here. It worked out very well.
It's very timely, and it's a topic that people don't always want to hear about, just like alcoholism, gambling, mm-hmm. and other things that we've discussed. And I think bringing that message, and Taylor said something very interesting. You can't fool someone who's been there.
Yeah.
And because you're fooling yourself, basically. The drug is fooling you, and
exactly.
You're believing it. So, you're trying to kind of make up for it. So
I know that was even like one of the things that I know you're talking to Mr. Harris, how there is a, your brain gets faked out, how it starts working. And I always remember they used to say about one of the problems of having a possible alcohol addiction, the term is called the hollow leg syndrome, in the sense that you would have to consume an excessive amount of alcohol before you start getting some kind of effect from it. And that was one of the early indications that, you have to be careful that you may be prone to it. And people sometimes do forget. They're so happy. Oh, good. I'm glad it wasn't drugs, but alcohol is considered a drug.
Liquid drug.
It's a liquid drug, and I know it's very much part of our culture. I know we got a lot of barbecues that are coming up now with the summer months coming, but the idea is it is a drug, and you always have to remember it, and that's one of the things. But could you tell us something now about how it would be when some people are predisposed to it more than other people?
Well, there was some studies that showed that they were predisposed and other studies that said no. But how a person doesn't become addicted is if they remain a recreational user. Like, say, if a person tries a drug, alcohol, heroin, mm-hmm. whatever it is, and they use it periodically, mm-hmm. like every 3 months,
okay.
they'll never have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, they'll never have a problem. Then the person, that starts to use, like I mentioned before, for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They like the way it feels. They start the purpose. I'm going to the movies. I'm going, to the baseball game. I have a drink or whatever. And then that non-purposeful area where you just wake up one day and you feel like you want to get high. The craving starts out of nowhere.
And
then you go into binging, 3 to 7 days, Friday, Saturday, go to church on Sunday, and then eventually going to become chemically addicted.
Mm-hmm.
So the person that doesn't go past that purposeful stage,
mm-hmm.
where the light, you can go to work, you can go to school, they probably will never have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start using more, and a lot of times, people start using because the drugs makes them feel good, even mm-hmm. they're in that recreational purposeful stage, they start mm-hmm. using more, and then they get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see the drug as being able to help them. Drugs cannot help you.
Yeah.
These drugs, alcohol, heroin, crack, marijuana, they can't help you with your problems.
Yeah.
You have to have your
the
brain
problems
sober.
The problems are still going to be there, okay? If you're trying to escape something, when you wake up, you may have that, the euphoric feeling, but then if you're trying to escape the problems aren't going to be eliminated.
Exactly. And when you use drugs, if you get high for a problem, you start abusing yourself with drugs, now you got 10 problems that you have to deal with because your mind is not functioning in a healthy way. You're out of touch with reality, so there's no way that you can have sound judgment. As a matter of fact, the first place the drugs go and enter the brain is called the cerebrum or frontal lobes. That deals with your intelligence, your judgment, and your inhibition center, which is the part of the brain that stops you from doing things that get hurt.
That you shouldn't do.
Right. So now that I'm intoxicated, I'm not as smart as I was before.
Yeah.
Then I don't know right from wrong as well as I knew. Then I don't care what happens to me. Somebody might say, you're going to lose your job. I don't care. You're going to lose your wife. I don't, you're going to die. Yeah. Yeah. Give me my heroin.
That
give me my alcohol.
That risky behavior now is more prominent.
Exactly. And one of the reasons for that is because the brain becomes thwarted. And, you know, when you look in the dictionary, the word thwart is deviating from what is considered right or good, persisting in error or fault, difficult, unruly, hard to manage, stubborn, manipulative. Hmm. This is how the brain is functioning. So you can know what's right and what's wrong, but you can't use your intelligence to make the right decision. Because you can have a person who say, well, I know I shouldn't take this money from my mother. And the addiction will say, yes, you are. And you'll take
it.
Right. That's how much power. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yes, that's how much power it has over the brain.
Anyway. Yep, absolutely.
Oh, boy.
So, and then that euphoria that you get from drugs actually teaches you to crave it. Is that what happened? How does that craving part come in?
Well, when you become addicted, even before you become addicted, you can crave. Like I said, during the non-purposeful stage, you want that feeling. Right. You know, it's part of the obsession, you know, that you desire. Like, say, if a person has had numerous problems in their life from drugs, they've been in detox rehab several times, they get sober for a year, and they start thinking about using, and they don't identify those thoughts as a threat, as an intent to hurt, maim, or destroy me. They identify them as something that's going to be wonderful and make me feel good, and not understanding that this is a deadly, dangerous thought. So... Right. When that happens, the person can keep moving forward with getting the drug. The obsession kicks in, and now they're out of touch with reality.
Right. Wow. You're listening to Health Matters, and when we come back, we're having a wonderful topic with Mr. Joseph Harris. We're going to continue to talk more about addiction and signs of preventing it. You're listening to Health Matters.
A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Rob Loferis. Tune into my show Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and ask Rob for the right advice on how to buy or sell your car or home and keep more money in your pocket right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Hi, this is Taylor. Have your second cup of coffee with me every Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. Learn the latest in news, gossip, health, entertainment, and of course, all about animals. WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
WTBQ Weather.
It's going to be another beautiful day for the area. Plenty of sunshine and warm, with high temperatures in the upper 70s to around 80. We will see an increase in clouds tonight for the area, especially after midnight, maybe even patchy fog or a few showers. Mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, a few scattered showers in the morning. They should turn more widespread in the afternoon, though, with a high 65 to 70. And on Saturday, a sunny start but a cloudy finish with a good chance of late-day showers or thunderstorms. In the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ken Elliott.
And welcome back to Health Matters. Feeling all right. You're listening to Health Matters, and joining me this morning, I'm Peter Fella, Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, with my wife Ann Fella, Regional Director of Patient Services. And we have Mr. Joseph Harris here. Do you like that song, that intro, Feeling All Right? I tell you, I feel all right. I guess all my guests that so far, Ann, not one guest has said, that's a stupid song. No one has said that.
Nice.
We're
going
to keep it. That's a keeper. I keep a list on it. But I know when I hear that song, it makes me feel good, and I like it, and I enjoy it. We're talking about drug addiction. And please, we want to remind our listening audience of WTBQ. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask Mr. Harris, you can call us at 845-651-1110. You know, so the reason I say 1110 is I always had trouble going 1111. I was doing too many ones or too many less ones, so that's why I say it's 651-1110 if you have any questions for Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, I want to talk about this. This is something that I've heard so much, is that they talk about any kind of drug addiction. It's considered a chronic disease, though, and we've always talked about a chronic disease. A chronic disease is a disease that you have for a long, long period of time. You can control, but you cannot cure. So drug addiction is considered, or alcohol is considered, alcoholic is considered a chronic disease. Now, my question is I've heard these stories. I know one of the mantras for Alcoholics Anonymous is one day at a time, is that just today I'm not going to drink. But if you say, gee, I'm not going to drink for the next 10 years, it's too much. But you just take one day at a time. How does something like this happen where, and I've heard these different stories where they said that, you know, they had stopped drinking for like 10 years. They were an alcoholic. They went to AA. They stopped drinking for 10 years. And then just out of the clear blue, they go to a 7-Eleven store and buys a six-pack of beer. And then they've reverted back to the way they were prior to being sober. Can you give any insight onto something like that happens? Have you seen something like that? Is that...
Well, we get patients all the time who've been sober for many years. We had one woman, she was sober for 25 years, and her husband left her, and she went back to heroin. You know, what happens is you know, when the drug addicted person hears that, you know, you're always going to be an addict, you know, but we're also going to always be a human, you know, so no matter what we get involved in, we're going to be a human. But what happens with the person who goes back is when they start thinking about using, they start to fantasize about how good it's going to be. This particular lady was looking for help with her emotions, and it never worked. So what the drug addicted person has to do, who's sober, anytime the thought of using enters the mind, they must identify those thoughts for what they really are. I encourage patients to challenge those thoughts, call it into a duel, demand for identification. So if I understand that these thoughts are deadly, dangerous, poisonous, and intent to hurt, maim, or destroy me, I can keep my focus on recovery thinking. My intelligence will be dominated with recovery thinking. But if I identify these thoughts as being wonderful and how good it's going to be, and, you know, the obsession is going to kick in, I'm going to start trying to convince myself that the truth is a lie. I'm going to start changing the danger in my mind and minimizing it. All of these things are defense mechanisms that are normal in with the addicted population. So when a person comes into recovery, they need to start immediately building a recovery foundation by any time those thoughts enter the mind to identify them for what they really are. Not an option, refuse to cooperate with them, and they will leave every single time. You know, because these are feelings. Part of feeling is stored in perception. Mm-hmm. So when I feel, I start to, you know, fantasize in my mind or perceive in my mind related to these feelings. So once I identify them for what they really are, I can control myself. That's part of recovery, is to mm-hmm. regain control, mm-hmm. to regain consciousness, to regain balance. All of these things are part of your recovery process. So if a person is thinking along those lines, they can keep their focus on how to stay sober.
Wow. Yeah. I'm still amazed that even with the, you know, professional athletes, I know we were watching, you know, it's really like Dwight Gooden and even Lawrence Taylor, Daryl Strawberry. I always could not understand, and you're giving some insight to it, Mr. Harris, is that when you're a professional athlete, you make an obscene amount of money. And why would, and when you have that, you can buy a Hellcat, you can buy any car you want. I don't know, whatever car you want to buy, you could go to any vacation, you could buy any house. But if you're taking the drugs, that's going to jeopardize you playing a professional sport. And why don't, I don't understand how they get it, that the high from taking a drug would supersede having a tremendous amount of wealth and be able to purchase whatever they want.
Well, you know, what happens when you become addicted, as you know, as a nurse, we have chemicals in our brain like endorphins and dopamine, mm-hmm. things that make us feel good.
Yes.
When I become addicted to drugs, all of those things, all of those chemicals are depleted.
Oh.
So I don't feel good from my Mercedes or my wife or my kids.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
The only feeling I get is going to be the false pleasure in my brain from the drug.
Wow.
That's that's what we call anhedonia, you know, where you don't get pleasure anymore. So the guy who, like Dwight Gooden, one of those guys, and, you know, they become addicted to drugs, somebody tell you got to get help, they get help. And then when they get sober and they start thinking about using, they don't identify those thoughts. They think they can use it and get away with it. Like there was a guy, Sanjay Gupta, they had a guy on his show recently who was sober for 8 years, broke his ankle, went to the hospital, the nurse gave him Percocet. And when he took the Percocet and realized what she had given him, when he started to feel it, he said, "Oh, I'm back home. It's so wonderful."
Oh, boy.
And 4 hours later, he had a needle in his arm because he did not identify those thoughts as a threat. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the keys to recovery, is to start building that recovery foundation in the beginning when you go into detox. Because you're going to have to get, you're going to have to go into treatment.
Is that where you start with detox? Or
start with the detox. Uh-huh. And then go into rehab and then further treatment. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, you involve yourself with AA and NA, which is a very good support system as well.
And that's where you might have a recovery coach, is that?
You can hire a recovery coach. A recovery coach.
Is it similar to like AA where?
No, it's different because it's one person.
Okay.
You know, with AA, you go to a meeting, you know, someone qualifies, tell their story. You know, people give feedback on how they're doing, how they're feeling, and people can give some feedback on how to, you know, cope with some of the stuff that's going on. It's like a whole social recovery group of people in AA and NA.
Once you've gone through detox and therapy and recovery, and you've, I'm trying to say, is it a lifelong process or do you just move on then with your life and that's behind you?
Well, it's different for different people. Some people never go for help and stay sober for the rest of their life. One of my uncles, he was a full-blown alcoholic. He just stopped. His wife said, "If you come in here again, I'm leaving you." He stopped. You know, so it depends on different people. You know, if you're trained to believe that you're going to have this, you know, activity for the rest of your life, then you will. Whatever works. If that works for you, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay. You know, whatever keeps you away from the drug. I tell people all the time, whatever works. You know, if you want to do, you know, long-term and outpatient and AA and NA, you want to get a recovery coach, individual therapy. If it works, if it doesn't work, then you got to try something different.
But you got to want it to work. Like sometimes people don't realize, like one of the, you know, you say, oh, you know, if, and I know Ann and I, we, because
well,
we're
just
nurses.
Like your yeah. You said your uncle, he wanted it. He obviously realized that his family and wife were more important.
That's right.
So he saw that and said, I want this to work, so I'm going to make it work. So
and one of the things that I wanted to mention with making it work is what I call internal tools. Like there are different kind of recovery tools. There's external recovery tools, counselors like me, psychiatrists, social workers, you know, AA, and then there's internal tools, which what you're bringing to fight this addiction.
Right.
If I want other people to help me, I have to bring something. And one of those internal tools is honesty. Honesty means I will not deceive myself about these thoughts. It also means fairness. Then there's courage. We're born with courage, men and women, mankind. You know, so courage means you do what you have to do in spite of fear or doubt. You know, determination, coming to a decision.
Right.
And refusal to accept defeat. I mean, that's just three. I have like 15 of them in the book. Yeah. But, you know, that's just like a few of them.
Right.
You know, so when I have my mind set, and that's the key. When you're training yourself how to think, because drug addiction is going to train you to think the way that it wants you to think. So you have to retrain yourself.
Right.
And part of that retraining is using honesty and determination and loyalty to yourself and perseverance, those kind of things. You know, so as when the addiction attacks me, I attack it right back. In early recovery, so I'm building a strong foundation in my mind because that's where the core of addiction is, in the mind. They call drug addiction a biopsychosocial disease. Bio is the body, biology. Psycho is the mind, psychology. And social is that underclass with the shooting galleries and the you know, the crack houses and the violence and the going to jail, you know, all of that stuff that's horrible for any human being, you know, but the core is in the mind. Right. And that's what we have to work with, you know, get the drugs, come into the hospital, detox. After a few weeks, used to take patients outside. Some of the patients would be running, you know, for the whole hour outside. after coming in almost dead from drugs. Because, you know, the human body has such healing qualities that blows mm-hmm. doctors and scientists' mind all the time. Right. So that part is not so difficult, but it's the mind. And that's what we have to work on. That's the piece that's going to take the person out of this addiction.
Right. Now, people can go through that, and like you said, they can have a relapse.
Yes, yes, right? They can.
It doesn't mean they can't recover again.
Exactly. Because when you're addicted to drugs, you're in a weakened state. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're weak. And the drug-addicted person sees himself as being weak because the addiction has trained him to react to its commands so many times, and he's done so many things that now he thinks he's weak, he's a failure. But he's only in a weakened state. Yeah, I tell patients all the time, when you come into the hospital...
Sign of strength, okay? Sign of strength, okay? Right. That's what I feel. You know, not a weakness that when you say, oh, gee, I have an addiction, that's a sign of strength that you have the strength to admit it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And being compassionate, they say that you're too weak. I don't know what's that. But no, that's a sign of strength, that you're being compassionate to someone.
Yeah, I always focus on patients' strengths, mm-hmm. not their weaknesses.
Right.
You know, because the weaknesses is not going to pull them out of this. Mm-hmm. You know, if you focus on, well, you know, I don't have any willpower, you know, which is not true. You know, if you look in the dictionary at the word will, part of will means desire, willingness, and determination. So if I have that desire, that's part of my will right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, you're listening to Health Matters, and when we come back, we have a wonderful topic with Mr. Joseph Harris. We're going to be talking about prevention, that drug addiction is a preventable disease. You're listening to Health Matters.
ANC Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home health aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. ANC Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hey, this is Joe Danz. Connect the dots in these challenging times with my Creativity and Technology for Business and Life show every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WTBQ, AM 1110 and FM 93.5. Radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Dr. David Leach, the superintendent of the Warwick Valley Central School District and host of Your Schools. Listen every Monday at 12 noon to learn what's happening in your schools right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ, feeling all right.
And welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And I have my wife, Ann Feller, the Regional Director of Patient Services, also at A&T Healthcare. And this morning joining us is Mr. Joseph Harris, who has a published book. Mr. Harris, could you tell us about the book that you have? That's pretty much what we're talking about, but tell them where they can get it and all the information that's involved with that.
Oh, yes. You can go on my website, J-O-J-U, A as in Apple, H as in Harry.com. You can read 5 or 6 pages, maybe a little more, and you can also order the book from the website.
Great. And the name of the book is Drug Addiction and the Most Powerful Enemy Against It, A Recovering Sober Mind, Joseph B. Harris. So, you know, you can Google that. I'm sure you can find it very easily. I think it's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon.
And you can get it on your Kindle, too.
Yep, Kindle.
Now, we are talking about different forms of addiction, and I think what Mr. Harris is amplifying is the idea that there is treatment, there is help. And a lot of times you really have to come to a realization that there is a problem. I remember I've had that a couple of times with my previous jobs, is that I saw this one employee. I thought that he was consuming alcohol. I thought I could smell it on his breath. And I remember I went to my HR and all the other people, you know, I think something's going on. And they said, oh, well, you need more than just smelling it on their breath. You know, it could be Listerine or it could be a mouthwash that has the alcohol. So they kind of blew me off. But sure enough, this person did have a problem with it. And, you know, I just sensed that, you know, something was wrong. But could you tell us now, what about prevention? I know before we left, we were talking about drug addiction. Is it preventable disease? So can we talk a little bit on that?
Well, one of the most...
How your work is and things like that at Good Samaritan Hospital.
Well, I don't work in prevention like with young people, but one of the most important things about prevention is education. And there's a lot of that going on, you know, now. I was at a heroin coalition in Monroe Middle School a couple of Thursdays ago, and the mayor was there, and the district attorney was there, and mm-hmm. different people speaking, one guy from West Point, and they were really educating these young people, you know, mm-hmm. so that's one of the keys, mm-hmm. is if you get the education. And never start, you know, never experiment with
it's almost like smoking. They say the best thing is don't start smoking.
Exactly. And smoking is deadly. Mm-hmm. They did a study from 1991 to 2001 on AIDS and tobacco. And during that period, 453,000 people died from AIDS and 10 million people died from smoking cigarettes during that same period. Wow. And this book, you know, with the tools that I use and this that I teach in this book, mm-hmm. you can work on any addiction.
Any addiction.
Cigarettes, food, whatever, you know.
And I do want to say, and I haven't read the whole book. I've read bits and pieces. I read a little bit online.
Well, thank you for the autograph copy.
And
yes,
thank you.
But you have to claim that on taxes,
you know,
Diane, okay?
Okay. But it's a good read. It's a good read for people. It's not high tech. It's easy to read.
Yeah, layman's terms, right?
Layman's terms. And just, you know, some good advice and a good story about recovery. So I think it would be very helpful to someone, and even for someone who might not be addicted but might have a family member who is, and or they're fearful of, and you know, maybe that would help to help them.
Definitely.
So. I know there have been several commercials. I remember this one from the Super Bowl, and every so often I see it. Is that the, you know, the person says, I got my eyes from my father, I got my hair from my mother, and I got my drugs from their cabinet, you know, the medicine cabinet. And then I was on the subway the other time when I was in the city, and the thing said, oh, who would have known that grandma has a stash? So obviously grandma had some of these opioids that were prescribed to her on a, you know, PRN basis, you know, as needed. And people start going in there and they start doing it. The other upsetting thing that I hear so much is even with Narcan is that they're training everyone with Narcan. And you can purchase Narcan now, if I'm not mistaken, at CVS for something like $50. And that's so often, it's like we do this in the medical professions, that they're just curing the symptom. They're not taking care of the problem, okay? Right. It's like you're bleeding. Well, you put a Band-Aid on. Well, now you're not bleeding anymore, but that's not correcting the problem, and you know, they're all like, this is what we're going to do. It's going to save lives. And you know, many times it was very sad. But I went to one. It was on the Perfect Storm. You know, talking about you know, the addictive process, about what happens. And they say that so often, they say every family should have a Narcan in their home, because you never know where something may happen and that sort of stuff. But it just shows you how like the mindset has changed. But it is education, and that's what we're doing here on Health Matters, Ann. I mean, we are educating people. Yes. So we do it.
Well, it's obviously a big problem if you can buy Narcan over the counter. I mean, that was really something that only ERs had and ambulances, paramedics carried. Now, you know, if you're fearful that someone in your home has the potential to overdose, you know, you can purchase that over the counter. It is all about education and outreach. You know, Peter, you talked about the Perfect Storm. That was a symposium in Rockland County, hosted by the DA's office.
The Rockland County DA's office,
And it's about education, outreach, and certainly helping youth and the general youth, especially because they're young, impressionable, able to, and you're able to teach them early. Also the general public, we've learned a lot about drug addiction just in this last 40 minutes.
And I think there's
definitely a message out there. And certainly public health professionals such as nurses and social workers, title is counselor, right? Yes. New York State license,
yes,
is that?
KSAC.
Yes,
KSAC.
Mm-hmm.
And bachelor's degree.
Right. And certainly teachers, parents, and, we can all teach our family members, children, and public about drug addiction and the seriousness of it. And something that you said, you know, drugs make you do things that you probably wouldn't normally do.
Yeah,
it's risky, and it's dangerous, and it's something that people don't always think will happen.
And also to bring this message through is that so often is that going back to your parents' medicine cabinet or what have you, is that they have a thing. Hey, at least I'm taking a pill that was prescribed from a medical doctor that was filled at a local pharmacy. Well, that's a lot safer to take it there than to buy it off someone in the middle of the street or something like that. But the reality is there is a tremendous risk by doing something like that.
You're still going to become addicted. Sanjay Gupta once again mentioned last night that United States makes up 25% of the world population, and we use 75% of opioid prescription drugs.
I mean, that's
75%.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, the pharmaceutical companies are getting rich. You know, people are dying because a lot of people go from the opioids, you know, the synthetic opiates, to heroin.
To heroin. Mm-hmm.
Almost all of my patients, I think it's something like 91% of people who start off with the opioids wind up using heroin.
Oh, that's significant.
You know, it's very high. And that's why so many people in Orange and Rockland County and all over the country, really, there's an epidemic everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and ISIS is loving it, you know, because they don't have to come over here and blow up anything. All they got to do is send over the chemical terrorists and just destroy our young people. You know, they terrorize the heart, the liver, the brain, the kidneys, the cells. Everything is destroyed.
Right. We didn't even talk about the medical problems, the conditions that you can have.
Yeah.
That could be another whole show or more. But do you have any final words?
Yeah, why don't you summarize it? I know this has been...
You got 1 minute.
You got 1 minute. Okay, then go now.
Well, you know, it has been a very enjoyable experience coming here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And I just love...
I told you you'd have... I did WTBQ or...
And I just love... trying to help someone understand drug addiction and the need to stay away and that they can stay away. Because, you know, even if you become addicted, we're humans more than anything else, you know. So if I'm a human, then I can do anything that any other human can do once I stabilize my recovery. Right. As long as my brain is not permanently damaged, I can recover and live a life just like anyone else and have a wonderful time. But I have to know it and have to believe it and want it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much, Mr. Harris, for being on the show. Can I ask you, would you like to come on the show again? I mean, I feel there's so much stuff we still had to cover. We weren't able to do it, but...
Oh, yes, definitely. Anytime. Yeah, just call me back.
We could do this again a couple more times.
I feel like we're just like scraping the surface, but really, like thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
So informative.
And just a reminder, there's a PCA, Personal Care Assistant, training course that's going to be starting in Newburgh at the end of the month, Peter?
Yes.
And you can call our Newburgh office at 845-561-7900. I don't know why I had a mental block there.
This is live.
I'm usually very good with the numbers. Or you can certainly go on our website, anthealthcare.com.
A&T Healthcare. I know we have so many offices, and we're not a franchise. We're a family-owned and operated, run by nurses. We have a great organization. We are... 1 minute. Okay. And one thing that I do want to say is that it's a shout out. It is Nurse Recognition Week and to all the nurses that are doing. And I know there are many nurses that have worked on, those particular addictive floors and stuff like that. But this is our week.
Actually, we should send a shout out to Dan's mother, Patty Buckland.
Yes, that's great.
She's up in Connecticut,
And a quick shout out to Dr. Gilligan. He kept saying Sanjay Gupta. We have Dr. Michael Gilligan. They have like Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz, but we have our Dr. Gilligan. Right. So I wanted to give a shout out to him. All right, listen, stay healthy. Why? Because your health matters. And to you, your family and friends, I wish you all the best. And we'll see you next week on Thursday morning. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right.